السلام عليكم. I'm gonna try it again. السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, we bear witness that nothing should be worshipped except Allah. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is his last prophet and the seal of all messengers. We bear witness if Allah should guide one, no one can misguide them. And if Allah allows someone to go astray, no one can guide them to the path of truth as we have come to learn the path of Islam. I don't want to take a lot of your time with a speech. But I do think it's extremely important for us as Muslims in the time in which we live in to do a little thinking about who we are and where we are. I saw the theme, and alhamdulillah, I heard the theme, thugs in the masjid. And I think it's a very interesting theme. Actually, I heard a brother talking in the back. He was saying, some people said, there are thugs in the mosque. And to me, it just reflects the reality of the struggle of young brothers and sisters in Islam living in North American society. So one of the things I think that's extremely important is identity, who we are. Because when you want to live the life of a thug or imitate thug lifestyle, it's really just a false illusion of being cool, but it has no substance to it. The thing of I'm a gangster, I'm tough, nobody's gonna mess with me, I got the juice, I'm in control, you know what I'm saying, move out my way. This is really just an illusion, because there were those who came before us who thought they were tough, and many of them today, they're in the cemetery, dead, with a bullet shot to the head. In fact, we just washed a brother who was one of Mike Tyson's best friends. Mike Tyson sent a brother to the mosque and said, would you do the janazah? And this brother just came home after doing 14 years in prison. How many years? 14. And before he went to prison, I knew him before we were in Islam. We all knew each other before Islam. And before Islam, he was a tough guy in the eyes of people. People saw him, they ran. They say, yo, here he come. Let's get out the way. Gold, fancy clothing, motorcycles, girls. Everybody was afraid of him. So he went to prison for 14 years. Young man. He came out of prison. And he thought that he had the same juice that he had before he went to prison. And when he came back to the neighborhood, there were other guys who thought they were the thugs of this generation. And so apparently, he pushed up on one guy. He said, oh, all right. And at 2:30 at night, he was looking down at his shoes like this here. And somebody just walked up and said, pop! Gone. Now, how tough are you? Everybody was scared, but there was always somebody that wasn't scared. See, the whole thing about being a thug and being cool, there's always somebody that thinks they're tougher than you. And because of that, two tough guys can't exist in the same space at the same time. Somebody has to go. And even the Muslim youth who have this sickness in their minds, you will see them sometimes, I've seen them, when they go to Islamic programs, they look to intimidate other Muslim youth. And they have their little posse with them. Come on, right there, right there, right there. So I'm like, oh, what's up? Alhamdulillah. Why? What's the purpose of it? As Muslims, what's the purpose of living like we're kafirs? Because the whole culture of thug culture is the lifestyle of the kuffar. It's not the lifestyle of a Muslim. A Muslim understands very clearly who he is. He or she, they understand. I'm a Muslim. That's my identity. I'm not a Muslim thug. I'm a Muslim. I practice Islam. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the prophets, and the best of my example are the prophets. And a Muslim has a clear direction in his life about what are the things that are most important to him, because he understands that he is responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not cool to be ignorant. And if you watch those who consider themselves thugs, it is nothing but a culture of ignorance, backwardness. And you know why it's so easy for young people to follow that lifestyle of being a thug? Because most young people are very foolish. They don't have much life experience, nor do they have a lot of knowledge. I know, because I was younger than you are, and I'm still young. And there are still things that I think that do not reflect the pure teachings of Islam, that still reflect the way I used to think before Islam. But it is a process to clean your mind and to clean your heart, and to know that as a Muslim, you have a total different purpose in life in terms of what your goals and objectives are. But when you, as a Muslim, I want y'all to listen to me very carefully. For any of you who want to be thugs or think you're thugs, when you as a Muslim imitate thug lifestyle, those who are the real thugs, who think themselves to be real tough, you become their number one victim. Because they look at you and say, Muslim? Muslims don't get down like this. Y'all Muslims? Y'all Muslims and y'all doing what we do? All right. Now they don't have no respect for you. So you're walking down a hallway, you get smacked in the head. Then somebody spit a razor out and cut you across the face. Y'all brothers better be real good Muslims and leave that word thug life. Y'all better leave it alone, because y'all not ready for it, man. I'm warning y'all right now. Y'all not even ready for it. Y'all better leave that thug stuff, and y'all better leave it alone, because y'all not ready to get cut across your face with a razor and to get stuck in your back and somebody kick you down and roll you over and put two shots in your mouth. You're not ready for that. You're not ready to do 14 years in a prison cell. When you go to the bathroom and you drop the soap, some man jumps on your backside and is trying to put his private part right up in your butt, and six guys standing there laughing and put you on your knees and put his private part in your mouth. You're not ready for that. You better go in the masjid. You better learn this deen. You better fear Allah. And you better develop the courage that you need to practice your deen. But all that thug stuff, brothers, I'm telling you, you're not with that. You being for a surprise? See, I come from nice homes. Mom, dad, go to school, nice grades, play with video games. Most of you can't even go out at night. You got to be home at a certain time. Those kids who live that lifestyle, they have a total different value system than you do. And you imitating something that's not a part of you makes you a hypocrite to the personality that you possess. How do you think, for example, how would you like to go into the jungle one day, right, and see a monkey acting like he's a bird trying to fly around? Wouldn't that be one sight to see? Imagine a monkey trying to fly around like a bird, jumping off of things, thinking he can fly. You would sit there as a human being and say, what's wrong with this stupid monkey? He's not a bird. He can't fly. And that's how Muslim youth look in America, trying to be thugs that they're not, trying to pretend they're tough, trying to have juice. What kind of juice you want? You think it's cool to go to prison? Because if you get that mindset of being a thug, you're going to do what thugs do. Thugs lie. Thugs steal. They have no respect for themselves, for their life. It's no such thing as, well, I'm a thug, but I'm not a criminal thug. It's no such thing. I'm a Muslim thug. You're not a Muslim thug. Either you're Muslim or you're not. That's your identity. But of course, what makes thug life so popular is rap music and videos, and all the glamour that comes from Hollywood, which its primary purpose is to destroy the integrity of the young people, so that whatever we see on the TV and on the video, we don't think we want to imitate it. Brothers, let me tell you something right now. It's only by the grace of Allah that I even stand here before you. Because when I was 13 years old, I was stupid. And I thought I was a thug. I thought I was cool. Because when I came around the corners, people used to run from me. But look how stupid I was. I took a gun one day, and I told my friend, don't run. He was in the hallway with me. I said, if you run, I'm going to kill you. I said, yo, give me the gun. Hurry up. And he's moving around, right? Wallahi, I'm pulling the trigger on him like this. My friend. But the gun didn't go off. And I got mad at the guy who gave me the gun. I said, yo, man, why you give me this gun? It ain't working. He said, give me that, man. What was you doing? The safety's on. Now, look how stupid I would have been. 13 years old, guilty of being a murderer, spending the rest of my life in the penitentiary. For what? Because I wanted to show somebody I was cool? Is it worth it? Your whole life in jail to prove to somebody that you got heart. That's only showing you ignorant and don't have an understanding. And so the young people in our society today, a lot of the thoughts that you possess are not your own thoughts. And it's not your fault that you feel that, you know, you got to fit in. I understand that. I've been through that lifestyle. But one of the things that you and I have to remember as Muslims, brothers, we have a deen. We have a way of life that teaches us the highest principles, be it in morality, be it in human interaction, politics, be it in economics, whatever you have a concern in your life, Islam has a system that if you follow it, you can be successful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most influential man in the world. Did you know that? They have books written by who is who in the world. The most influential man in the world is Prophet Muhammad. The most common name in the world is Muhammad. So Muslim brothers who have this idea of being cool, I'm just telling you as a brother, you could do whatever you want to do. I didn't come here today to tell you what to do. You could do whatever you want to do. It's your life that you will waste. I'm not here to follow you. I won't tell you, you don't do this, you don't do that. You know exactly right from wrong. If you want to live your life and behave like the kafirs, go ahead. Because there are things that you will see and things you will go through, you'll say, you know what? Damn. This is what Brother Abdul Malik was talking about. See, I like to take some of you on a trip to the prisons and right downtown in the courthouse with people in the jail cell waiting to be seen, sleeping on the floor, people getting spit on and pushed around. People just showing you no respect because their minds is that of an animal, because they have been reduced to the lowest of the low. For one reason. When you don't believe in Allah, shaitan becomes your leader. When you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan becomes your leader. Let me give an example, brothers. If I'm a thug and you're my best friend and you're married, as a thug, I don't have no respect to you as my friend. Now, how would you like to go home after having a wonderful wedding and find your best friend in the bed with your wife? You say, yo, I'm a thug, man. I don't care about nothing. I'm a thug. But he's your friend. He's your friend and he's a thug, and you just was blessed by God to make $50,000 in your first year on your job. And because he's a real thug, he set you up for your gold, for your jewelry, and everything. You eating with him, right? And all of a sudden, put a gun to your head. Be like, yo, man, open up the safe. You're like, yo, what? Open the safe. You're my man. Look, I'm a thug. I'm a thug for life. Get the cream. Now. Get the cash. Like, yo, why? Yo, click, click, get the cash, man. You think I'm playing? All right, look, watch this. For your wife. Open your mouth. Pow! Get the cash. That's the stuff y'all want to start living? That's the kind of stuff y'all want to get into? Brothers, man, listen, man. This stuff ain't no joke. Gang banging. Y'all watching TV. Y'all watching videos. Y'all better stay with Islam. That's your protection. Because even those who call themselves thugs, they respect Muslims. So long as Muslims are not trying to imitate them. If you say you Muslim and you walk a straight line, the hardest thug will knock on the mosque door. Say, yo, man, check it out. Is the imam inside, man? I want to talk to him. Yeah, come on in, man. What's up? Chill. Nothing, man. Have a seat. And he'll drop a tear. I just had two in my mosque. Say, yo, man, I'm tired of living like this, man. I done killed mad people. I done put out mad heads, man. I'm tired, man. I'm tired. I done stuck so many cats up, man. I can't sleep at night because I hurt so many people. Muslims don't want to live. You don't want to live like that. I got two brothers, time they come out their door, they looking. because somebody wants to kill them now. They got a warrant, not a warrant, they got a bounty price on their head. Somebody just paid $50,000, said, bring me his head. He just beat me again earlier today. Said, bring, and the thug that's in them, huh? You know how one brother was going to set up the other brother? Because they want to be thugs. They're Muslims. They went back to the dunya. They went back to the days of Jahiliyyah. You know what the brother said? He said, yo, man, come on to Salatul Jumu'ah this Friday and bring your guns with you. But come to Jumu'ah prayer. How can you tell your brother that is a Muslim, come to Jumu'ah prayer and bring your guns with you? How? And I met with them and I told them, you know what? If you don't want to practice Islam, the hell with you. Do what you want to do. Because if Allah's word is not sufficient for you to adhere to the message of Islam and to be obedient and respect that in Islam, the life of another Muslim is sacred. That you don't kill your brother. You don't rob your brother. You don't set your brother up. You see, as we sit here in this little community and we think of thug lifestyle, this is why today in Muslim countries, countries go to war. Because among the leaders of the world of Islam are those who have a thug mentality. They want what they want when they want it, and if they can't get it, they will go to war and kill innocent men and women and children. There are children right now, brothers, in the world of Islam. They can't get no medicine. Muslim kids right now are going blind in the hospital because they can't get medicine. Muslim kids right now, their heads are growing big as their whole body because they can't get no medicine. Because there's some Muslim brother who's in a position of power, who's a thug. And until he get what he want, he say the whole nation can die. You can get video footage of Muslim leaders taking Muslim brothers who want to practice Islam and put the gun in their mouth and smack them upside their head and stomp them and then shoot them and put fear in the hearts of other Muslims. When we know that as Muslims, the only fear we should have is of who? As a Muslim, who are you supposed to fear? Who? So you as a Muslim, brother, if you become a thug, that means you want to take the place of God, which means you become like Satan. You want another human being to fear you when they should only be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan, he started using you now. You go to a Muslim conference, and instead of going to say, Assalamu alaikum, no. Yeah, brother Ahmed gonna be there? All right, yo, tell the brothers be neglats. We going there too. Yo, come on, man, let's go, Ak. We the Muslim mafia. And you go to the conference, put your pants down, put your earrings in, get your little cell phones, and you walk around like you're hard. But you know where to do that at. You won't come to the hood and do that. You do that among weak Muslims. Because in the hood, brother, they eat y'all up. I'm telling you right now. Y'all better stick with this deen. That's the best thing you got is Islam. Y'all don't want that lifestyle. It's the lifestyle of animals. And ain't no love in the game for nobody. Nobody is trusted. Nobody. Islam has come to reform the thug life. And that's what I want to end with you with today. Islam has come, brothers, to give us guidance. You want to be respected? Islam will teach you how to get respect. Islam was able to transform the life of people like Malcolm X, who is well respected. Islam came and transformed the life of people like Muhammad Ali, the world's champion. Islam came and took thugs like Khalid ibn Walid and reformed his whole life. And even though he's dead, it is as though he is alive. Because we remember Khalid ibn Walid as an example, as the sword of Allah. Because he took the courage that he had to fight, and he used it as opposed to putting fear in the hearts of men. He used it to defend the spirit of Islam. People like Umar ibn Khattab, read his life before Islam. He was a man of Jahiliyyah. A man, because of thug lifestyle, he buried his own daughter alive. Is that what you would like to do? You like to go back to the days of ignorance and watch your father take your baby sister that's just 3 months old and bury her in the dust of the soil of America and watch your little baby sister cry out? That's what you want to become a part of? No Muslim brother in his right mind would even use the terminology, I'm a thug Muslim. That just means you're ignorant. Because ain't no such thing as a thug Muslim. You Muslim. That's all. And the practice of a Muslim is based upon the principles of truth and justice and equality and dealing with all human beings. Now, I'm not saying to you be a punk neither. You don't have to be a thug to get respect. And you don't have to walk around being scared. As a Muslim, we are taught to defend ourselves. I'm not saying to you to be in the American society and let some kid walk up to you and because you're a Muslim now, he think you're scared, smack your glasses off you and take your money out your pocket. No. You don't let nobody put their hands on you and you let nobody take your money from you. You stand up for what's yours. Because there comes a time in all of our lives that we may have to fight. But a Muslim in this day and time, brothers, you have to study the religion of Islam and make that your primary focus. Videos and music and games and all kinds of forms of entertainment, it has damaged the minds of young America today. Black, white, rich, or poor. The TV is so powerful. The computer is so powerful. Brothers, do you know that with computers right now on the internet, you can download anything? You know that, right? So that means right now, what's the holiest city in the world to the Muslims? I can't hear you. Mecca. That means right now, a kid in Mecca who's memorizing Quran can go on the internet, type in the word sex, and download pornography. Isn't that disgraceful to be able to have that kind of stuff in the homes of the home of Islam? But that's the goal of the enemy. The goal of the enemy forces is not to destroy your parents. They don't care nothing about your parents. They want you. Because if they can destroy you, they can guarantee that their children will control your children in the future. You brothers got to study. You see, you have to study how you became part of the American society. If your mother or father is a doctor, lawyer, engineer, you have to study from whatever country your parents have come from. You have to study how the British, the French, the Portuguese, and the Italians, how they devastated the world of Islam, and they chose among the chosen few in the Muslim community to give them education, ultimately have them deported into a Western society so that they can create in the minds of the children of those foreigners the love for the life of the kuffar, and hoping that later on we would go back to our homelands and bring the filth that we pick up in Western culture, bring it back home and destroy our whole society. And that's what's happening right now. I ask you this question. How many of you listen to rap music? Just be straight up. Raise your hand. All right. What would a boy born in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia who speaks Arabic, what would he need with a Snoop Doggy Dogg tape? What would he need with it? I'm the D-O-G, Snoop Dogg, dog. What would a kid who speaks Arabic in Mecca reading Quran, what would he need with that? What would he need with that? But it's there. What would a kid in Mecca need or in Jeddah need in a Muslim, any Muslim country? What would he need with a cassette tape? Born Again, Biggie Smalls. Or Black and Ugly as Ever, Gucci Down to the Socks. What would a Muslim kid need with that? What do he need with it? Or Tupac, California Love. Or DMX, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. What would a Muslim kid need with that? It's real simple. They want right now to put it in the minds of all the Muslim kids that the lifestyle of the thug is the ultimate goal of success, to deprive you of the true understanding of your purpose in life so that you would have to go through all of the hell that they go through in order to come back to the true understanding of what life is all about. You notice some of the thugs, if they live long enough, they change their whole life and they go back to who? You ever notice thugs? They go back to God. You ever notice that? After being tough and all that stuff, when they really come to their senses, who do they turn back to? God. Now, I listen to rap music. Because in listening to the music, I know what's on the minds of young people. And some of the rappers, they're quite smart. They're not dumb. So some of you heard DMX when he said, they got us expecting a war. You heard that song? You heard it, brother, didn't you? He said, they got us expecting a war. He said, black against white, white against black. But the real fight is what? Say it. Say it. He said, they got us expecting a war. White against black, hating black, white hating. He said, they got expecting a war. Say it. Follow what? Follow the law of the Lord. That's the real war. See, listen to what he said. They got us expecting a war. Black hating white, white hating black. But the real war is following the law of the Lord. How many of you heard that song? Honestly, DMX is big, isn't he? But he, look what he said. They got us, they fooling you. They got you thinking it's about black against black, white against white, white against black. But the real war is following the law of the Lord. That's the real battle. The real battle is not the battle man against man, but it is the battle of the spirit. And that is what they want. They want to conquer your soul. And if they can conquer your mind, they conquer your soul. Because your body will follow the thoughts of your mind. So anybody who's been into Christianity, there's a passage in the Bible that says, we fight not against flesh and blood. It's not a war of flesh and blood. We fight against rulers of darkness. Rulers of what? Rulers of darkness. Where are they? Sitting in high places. Principalities and rulers of darkness sitting where? In high places. There are people right now programming your success. And others are programming your failure. Yes. How is it with 1.5 billion Muslims in the world that a kid in Baghdad can't get no medicine? How is that? How is it with 1.5 billion Muslims in the world a Muslim kid cannot find food on his table? How is it with over, they say, a million Muslims in New York? 1 million Muslims in New York. And there is not a cultural center built from the ground on up for Muslim youth to cultivate your minds for excellence that you may become not followers, but leaders of the American society. Where is it at for you? That's why Muslim youth are into thug life. Because within the Muslim community, there is no leadership that teaches them to aspire to greatness and lives an example that they can look up to and see, not hear, but see the life of the Prophet. You ever saw Prophet Muhammad? You ever saw Prophet Muhammad? Have you ever seen Prophet Muhammad? You ever saw Prophet Muhammad, brother? How are you going to see a prophet that's already dead and gone? How can you be inspired unless those who say they love the prophet live his lifestyle? Because you know what, as young men, you aspire for more than anything? You know why such lifestyle is attractive? Because it gives the appearance of power. You were created by Allah. This is the last, I want to give you this lesson, I'm finished. You were created by Allah to be with power. He said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I am putting in the earth a ruler. You can't rule if you don't have no power. Am I correct? If you're to have power and be able to rule, you must have authority. You must be able to dictate and see that which is dictated is enforced. If a person says to you, that they are the head of their home. The mayor comes and says, I am in charge of this city. And I want these cars moved off the street. How does the mayor make his word a reality? Who does he call? Huh? Police. We call it law enforcement. See, you have no power if you can't enforce it. You know when you got power, if what you say, you can make it a reality. When you were created, Allah already gave you power. But now there are those who take it away from you, because the basis of you having power is first a level of consciousness to know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you can never be who you're supposed to be, because you don't know who you are.
The greatest title you can ever have is a Muslim. The best you can ever be where power is concerned is a servant and a slave of the most powerful. Because ain't no real power except with Allah. When we hear the Azan and it says, Hayya ala salat, we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hayya ala al-falah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is absolutely no power except with Allah. Then what does Allah say in the Quran? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tabarak al-ladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Wahuwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Al-ladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيَّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Glorified and magnified is He, Allah, who in His hand is the power. He got the power. How do you know He has the power? How do you know Allah has the power? He says, the one that created death. Oh, yes. Death is created. And then He said, He created death and He gave life. Why? Why life and why death? Why He say death first and then life? Because everything that is given life must die. But if something has never lived, it will never die. So He says He created death. And then He said He gave life. Why? To see which one of us will be more mindful and respectful of His presence. So let me just show you how a thug is really a weak person who is trying to create an image of power that's an illusion. If you're a thug and you got power, how can the police put handcuffs on you? You're a thug, everybody's scared of you. You got guns on you, and you everybody running. You, hey, come here. Yo, here, come in, let's get out of his way. But all of a sudden, here comes 5-0. Get against the wall, turn around. All right, 5-0 come up on you like this here. Look just like you, hit you. Get against the wall, turn around, spread them. Search him. Oh, you got a gun on you? Mm-hmm. And you got some dope in your pocket. Let's go. Take him downtown. Take you downtown and run you through the computer. Find out you got a warrant on you from Philadelphia, a warrant on you from Florida, a warrant on you from Georgia. Give you 25 to life. And all the power you had in the street, you live your life in a jail cell.